Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. My guest today is David Cobb. He's the National Program Director for Democracy Unlimited and the spokesperson for the Move to Amend campaign, an effort to limit corporate money in politics by amending the Constitution. In the past, David has run for Attorney General of Texas, and in 2004, he was the Green Party's nominee for President of the United States. David, thanks for being with me today.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Grant.
Let me start with some basics. Can you summarize the problem that Move to Amend is trying to remedy?
Yes, and really there are two related problems. So I'll answer the question, but really tease out two illegitimate court-created doctrines. The first, the idea that money equals speech. The idea created by the court in 1976 in an infamous case called Buckley versus Vallejo that says that money is an expression of political speech and therefore can only be restricted in very narrow ways. Worth pointing out, Grant, that before that decision in almost every state, including in New York State, it was a felony to use corporate money to even influence elections. You see how low we've sunk. The second problem is the equally odious, also court-created idea that a corporation must be treated as if it's a person with constitutional rights. Now, that's a mouthful, but I want to really break it down because, you see, your listeners, we have constitutional rights because we're living, breathing human beings. As a political theorist, you understand very well that the Constitution doesn't create those rights. The Constitution recognizes those rights. We have those rights because we are human beings. Those rights are inherent and inalienable to us. Here's the kicker. A corporation can only be created by the state chartering process. Limited liability is a big deal because what's being limited? The legal liability and responsibility, right? So we at Move to Amend agree that corporations should exist. We agree that they should continue to be chartered. We don't think they have inherent and inalienable rights because here's the point. If you or one of our listeners right now goes into court and claims that a constitutional right is being violated, what they're saying is that some law, local, state, or federal law, is infringing upon their ability to exercise their citizenship. And if that ever happens, then the court is the appropriate place to step in and say the political process is illegitimate because it's infringing upon human beings' rights. And Grant, if a corporation, an artificial entity created simply by construction of statute, can claim that they are a person with constitutional rights, it means corporate lawyers can go into court and argue to overturn environmental protection laws, worker safety laws, public health laws, campaign finance laws. What it means in essence is that we the people have lost our sacred right to self-government because absolutely human beings' rights cannot be infringed upon by the body politic, but corporations are merely artificial entities created under that process. If a corporate lawyer can argue to overturn a law attempting to restrict the conduct of a corporation, it means we the people are no longer in charge of our own government.
Now, is your biggest concern in all of that, in terms of how this plays out in the political process, the argument that the corporate money in the political process leads to a dramatic kind of political inequality in the political process? Is that really the bottom line worry, or is it more of this concern that this is going to lead to other kinds of legal cases like you mentioned with environmental protection and other areas?
And I'm glad you asked the question, Grant, and the answer is you've hit the bedrock issue as it relates to money and politics. But remember, there are two parts of the Move to Amend proposed amendment. Money is not speech, and that corporations should not have constitutional rights. Because the reality is that today it's not just the worry about what might happen. The reality is that there is a 100-year precedent of laws being overturned. And these laws are not just environmental protection laws. They're worker safety, public health. I mean, look, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but a peer-reviewed study coming out of Columbia University concludes what anybody at a pool hall or a bowling alley could tell you, and that is that notwithstanding the rhetoric of this country, we don't actually function like a democracy because we are actually functioning as a plutocracy where there's a small ruling elite. And this doctrine of corporate constitutional rights and money is speech, the two of them together are the linchpin. And, you know, Grant, it's not rhetoric for me. I remember as a little boy being taught that the United States was like some great shining light on the hill, that we stood for liberty, justice, and democracy. I was so proud to be from that country. See, I bought it. I was like a true believer. And when I grew up and I realized that it didn't exactly work like that, I tried to make it work like that. And as a lawyer, I became a lawyer because I wanted to, quote, administer justice. I wanted to enter into a profession where I would actually be able to make this country the country that I thought it was supposed to be. I practiced law for over a decade, and I was a successful trial lawyer. But you know what I realized? I might get individual justice for an individual client, but that the system is rigged. The system is rigged for the wealthy. The system is rigged to continue to perpetuate the systems that we live in. And what I came to discover is that these doctrines, not individual laws, not even individual court decisions, but there are several doctrines at play that are illegitimate, court-created, and the Move to Amend campaign aims to correct those problems.
So briefly, what are the specific changes then that Move to Amend is trying to make? What is the essence of the language?
The essence of the language is on the website movetoamend.org, but in essence it reads like this. Artificial entities do not have inherent and alienable rights and therefore are subject to the political process. The second component is that money is not political speech, and therefore local, state, and federal representatives have the authority to make campaign finance laws. And I want to point out something, Grant. As we've been describing these two, these are principles. They're not issues, right? Because these are political questions. Campaign finance laws are political questions. Worker protection laws or the lack of them are political questions. Political questions are supposed to be resolved in the political process. When the court turns a political question into a constitutional question, they've just turned we the people, the sovereign citizens, from active participants into mere spectators, where we have to sit on the sidelines while they tell us what we're allowed to do. And that's the reason that Move to Amend is able to bring together principled conservatives, principled liberals, moderates alike, and actually be part of a growing movement that says we may disagree on issues, but the principle of a constitutional Republican form of government, we're in agreement. And that's an exciting thing to be part of.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with David Cobb from Move to Amend, an effort to change the Constitution and overturn the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision. Well, let's talk about the process of changing the Constitution. Remind our listeners of the constitutional amendment process.
Article 5 is very explicit. There are two ways to propose amendments formally, and ratification always requires three-quarters of the state legislatures to agree. The proposals, though, can come from two ways. One, two-thirds of Congress agree and propose it, at which point it then goes to the states for approval. Or two-thirds of the states on application can call for a constitutional convention, at which point whatever proposals come out of that convention would still go to three-quarters of the states for ratification.
Now, no amendment has gone through the second.
The second one has never been used. However, it has been threatened. For example, the direct election of the United States Senate, they were only a few states out of actually triggering an Article 5 convention before Congress saw the light and decided to go forward. The same is true actually for the amendment giving 18-year-olds the right to vote. There were several states calling for an Article 5 constitutional convention. I want to be clear about something, Grant. At Move to Amend, we recognize that it's probably more likely to go through Congress, right? Because that's what the history has shown us. But we also are not going to weigh take off the table Article 5. Think of it this way. When you're traveling a road and you come to a Y, you have to take it, right? You have to choose which way to go. Well, whether to go through Congress or whether to go through an Article 5 constitutional convention is a Y in the road. But we recognize there's a lot of political road that needs to travel first.
Well, that gets exactly to the thing I wanted to ask about. What is your progress today? Where are
My
you?
God. All right, listen, Grant, I'm going to sound like a cheerleader here, but I just have
you
to tell you.
Have.
Well, I'm a true believer, that's for sure. Let me give you some objective data here. Move to Amend began with 12 people in a living room in 2010. Today, we have 348,000 people actively participating. We have over 120 local affiliates, that is, local groups that have formed across the country dedicated to supporting and winning this constitutional amendment. In addition to that, we have helped 600 communities pass resolutions in support of our effort, that is, city councils or county board of supervisors actually voting on the issue. We've helped 16 states pass resolutions in support of a constitutional amendment. And the thing I'm most proud of is we have put this issue on the ballot in 200 communities across this country. In other words, not just city council members voting, but created the process to allow ordinary people to weigh in on the question. And the question is almost always basically this. Do you support a constitutional amendment to abolish the legal doctrine of corporations having constitutional rights and money is not speech? Grant, we put that on the ballot 200 times across this country. Guess how many times we've won?
I'm guessing it's close to 200,
if not 200. It is exactly 200. We haven't lost yet. And here's the thing. Yes, we've won in San Francisco and Boston and Madison, Wisconsin, you know, the liberal bastions. You know where else we've won? Utah, Texas. Rural Wisconsin. In fact, in the last spring election in Waukesha, Wisconsin, which happens to be the hometown of Republican Tea Party Governor Scott Walker, where they haven't voted for a non-Republican for president in 20 years or a member of Congress for 30 years, we were on the ballot as moved to amend just 3 months ago, and we won. We haven't lost yet because we are able to articulate this campaign as one that is not a liberal issue. It's not a conservative issue. It is a principle about the constitutional Republican form of government. And we can disagree as well we should on issue debates, but on the principles of how our government operates, there is wide agreement amongst the American people.
Let me push you a little bit on this, and I'll come back to this again later. You know, as you know, it's hard to change the Constitution. You just ask Equal Rights Amendment supporters. And in fact, it seems like it may be actually getting harder even than it was, because since the 1971 amendment giving 18-year-olds the right to vote, which you talked about a little bit earlier, there's only been one additional amendment, and that was making it slightly more difficult for Congress to give itself a raise, which is not very controversial in recent years. So what makes you think you'll be able to really push this thing through?
I'm glad you asked that, because that's a hard organizer's question. It's a question that that any of us who are working on this ought to ask ourselves, can we really do it? I want to tell you this, Grant. I think our likelihood of success is about the same as it was likely that abolitionists could end slavery if you had asked them that question in the 1840s. Our chance of success is about the same thing if you had asked the women who gathered at Seneca Falls, New York, when they were getting together to attempt to begin that movement. I think our chances of success are about the same that Martin Luther King and the rest of the civil rights activists had whenever they were confronted with Jim Crow segregation, because I'm taking this question very seriously, and I tell you this. You damn right it's hard. It should be hard to amend the Constitution. The Constitution is the social contract. It's the supreme law of the land. And I want to be clear. We believe the court has illegitimately interpreted that document. They are wrong. And so we are doing what is our right and our responsibility to correct them. And so it is a difficult task, but it's a task that we take up joyfully and cheerfully because it gives us the opportunity to fully express ourselves as the citizens that we really are. See, going and voting every 2 to 4 years, yes, we should do that, but that's a very anemic exercise of political power. Real political power would be the opportunity to participate in a meaningful way with how our society is organized. Grant, this issue, move to amend, is not an issue. It really is an opportunity to say, hey, let's make this the country that we were taught as children that it was supposed to be. And when I get the opportunity to talk about it that way, Grant, it doesn't matter if I'm on a university, a high school, it doesn't matter if I'm in a church or a pool hall or a bowling alley. I see the flicker in people's eyes. It sort of it inspires them. It reminds them of what it was that made them proud to be an American. See, this is something that yes, it's going to be hard. But you know what? It's something that we are absolutely committed to seeing through to the end.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with David Cobb. He's an attorney and a political activist and the spokesperson for the Move to Amend campaign, an effort to limit corporate money in politics. I wanted to come back to those historical examples that you gave when I was asking you if you think you can really push this through. It does seem that oftentimes constitutional amendments follow on big events in American history that change the political conversation in dramatic ways. You know, the 14th Amendment following the Civil War, 18-year-olds during Vietnam. You gave some other examples. So let's think about this one. Let's think about Move to Amend. Is there an event that you can imagine that would push this kind of thing through that hasn't happened yet?
Well, I will tell you this. I think it's already happened. It's called Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission. I mean, think about it. Like, look, I'm a lawyer and also a political theorist. Grant, how many court decisions do people know when you're at cocktail party conversations, not with somebody like me, but just ordinary folks? I mean, they'll know Plessy versus Ferguson. You know, they'll know Dred Scott maybe. If you're lucky, they might remember Marbury versus Madison.
How many? Brown
versus Board of Education. But we're pretty much at the end of that list, aren't we? Now, let me ask you honestly, how many times in casual conversation has Citizens United or Citizens United versus FEC come up? My guess is a lot. I certainly hear it a lot. So what I would tell you is this, that we already knew that things were bad in this country. There were billions of dollars being spent. But the floodgates have been opened by Citizens United versus FEC, where the court took two legal doctrines, the idea that a corporation is a person with constitutional rights and the equally odious and also court-created idea that money is speech, basically put them together and extended them further than any court has ever done. And, by the way, the Roberts Court did something that we are trained as lawyers and political students that the court never does, which is they sent the case back for re-argument, not to further develop the facts of the case, but to actually come prepared to rebrief and re-argue something that had never even been brought up in the lower trial courts, because the Roberts Court knew and wanted to push. And what they did, in essence, was overturn 100 years of jurisprudence around campaign finance law. So I'm going to suggest to you this. We've already seen it happen in Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission. They pushed it even further with McCutcheon versus Federal Election Commission. There are two cases pending now, Hobby Lobby, which is where – and follow me because this sounds outrageous, but I'll ask your listeners to look it up. Don't trust me on this. Hobby Lobby is a case where lawyers are arguing that Hobby Lobby Incorporated has a constitutional right to religion and that political decisions made are violating Hobby Lobby's constitutional rights. I know that sounds crazy, but look it up and you'll find out that that's exactly what's pending. So I'm here to tell you we are seeing before our very eyes a court attempting to return us to the Lochner era. Now, for folks who don't follow sort of law and history, this was the era during just before the New Deal when President Roosevelt was attempting to – and Congress were attempting to pass legislation to deal with the Great Depression. And all those laws were being overturned on the basis, they said at the time, of the substantive due process is what they basically said. And basically it said that the government cannot interfere at all with capitalism. Well, that was changed, thank goodness. But – this Roberts Court is attempting to take us back to that time period. So when you say, do I see something coming in the future, I would tell you it's already happened, and that's the reason Move to Amend is growing.
So a logistical question now. There are several other amendments similar to yours that are being pushed by different groups and people. And again, given the difficulty of amending the Constitution, it seems that it would be crucial to get everybody on the same page to consolidate and coordinate the effort. How are you folks dealing with that?
Well, first of all, let's remember this, that Seneca Falls, I referenced, you know, what we've been trained to understand as the birth of the women's suffrage movement. When they first came together, actually, they mostly all agreed that they were really about women's rights, and some argued that we should be, they said, a human rights movement. There were those, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Alice Paul, and Frederick Douglass, who argued a human rights movement that would call to abolish slavery and guarantee an equal rights Amendment clause for women, right? Then there were others who said, well, we have to separate abolition from women's rights. And then others who said, well, we can win a right to vote for women easier, so let's just do that and not deal with the equal rights. I say that to really take your question head on and point out there are those of us who believe that if Frederick Douglass and Alice Paul and Elizabeth Cady Stanton had won the day, that and it had become a human rights movement emerging out of Seneca Falls, that we might have been able to end slavery without the bloodshed of the Civil War. We may have actually seen the 19th Amendment not just get women the right to vote, but actually pass an equal rights amendment. All I'm saying is this. We should be for what we're for, because any movement that's strong enough to amend the Constitution is strong enough to amend the Constitution. So almost every other proposal is weaker than Move to Amend. They just deal with either overturning Citizens United or just getting money out of elections. Move to Amend's We the People Amendment, already introduced in Congress, by the way, fully 5-10 years ahead of where I thought we would be. That amendment is the only amendment that both abolishes corporate constitutional rights and abolishes the idea that money is speech. So we are willing to collaborate and work with people as we build this movement, but we think that we're probably only going to get one bite at the apple, and we ought to make it actually what we really want it to be.
If you just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, and my guest is David Cobb. We've been discussing the efforts of the Move to Amend campaign to overturn the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision by amending the Constitution and by changing some of the fundamental ways that we think about corporations and rights. So let's look to the future. So let's say that you're successful in getting this amendment passed. How then will change occur? Will the states and the Congress then have to pass legislation that limits corporate money in politics? Is that the way that you'll start to see change? Tell me how that's going to work.
It's a great question. I'm glad you've asked it, Grant, because what I would tell you is this. Remember that it's not going to be like one day we don't have the amendment, the next day we do. It's not like turning on a light switch and a dark room lights up, because amending the Constitution requires a powerful shift in the body politic. It means not only has Congress, 2/3 of Congress agreed to propose it, it means that 3/4 of the state legislatures have agreed to ratify it. You realize the substantive shift that that means. So what I would tell you is, as we engage this struggle, and it is an intellectual struggle, it's a struggle for the heart and soul of ordinary Americans, as we engage that, what you're going to see is a more active citizenry. You're going to already see local and state and federal legislation that's being sort of drafted to sort of deal with the corporation. Because I'll tell you this, I think that where we're headed is a which side are you on moment. Because I think that the old left-right dichotomy is actually dissolving before our eyes. Yes, there's polarization going on particular key issues, you know, gun control, abortion. There are a couple of things that are super highly polarized. But do you know what polling data shows? Polling data shows that almost the overwhelming majority of Americans, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, or Independents, Greens, Libertarians, the majority of Americans actually agree corporations have far too much power in this country. The overwhelming majority of Americans agree that there is way too much money in elections. And guess what the Move to Amend proposed amendment will do? It will get money out of elections, and it will put corporations in their appropriate role into society.
So let me play political cynic here for a minute.
Please
All
do.
Right. So I can imagine that you might get 2/3 of Congress to say, you know what, this is an idea worthy of putting to the states, and let's see if there is 3/4 of the states to support it. And then you get to that point, but then you got to come back, and you've got to come back to a Congress that is pretty dysfunctional. I mean, McCain-Feingold seems like a distant era from long ago when we look at Congress today. So it's one thing to say, I'm willing to put this thing forward, as the institution is willing to put this thing forward for a vote. It's quite another to come back and say, okay, now we have to legislate restrictions on corporate money and politics, particularly when that corporate money serves us pretty well. So how do you see you getting from the idea of the amendment, this kind of principle thing you're talking about, to the actual politics of changing the laws.
Fair enough. And it's a good question. And let me take it head on and tell you this, that the Congress that is going to propose this amendment is not currently in session and they're not currently in office. But those Congress people, the men and women who are going to propose it, they're already born. Many of them are probably already serving in state legislative seats across this country. They're members of both the Democratic and the Republican Party. They are probably independents or lean independent. Maybe some of them are libertarians or greens as well. Because here's the point that I'm making, Grant, and I want to take this really head on and tell you that the current congressional loggerheads and the sort of that leads the cynic in you to ask that kind of question, it's because you're paying attention. The American people are paying attention. There's a reason why, and you know this to be true, that the approval rating in Congress is at the lowest point that it's ever been since those polls were taken. People are disgusted. So I actually never have a difficult time inspiring ordinary people to actually get involved. I'm saying this, we need to deepen our analysis and we need to raise our political aspirations and expectations. And when we do both of those things together collectively, then all of a sudden, all the things that you're sort of complaining about, I would say that's the reason we're growing, Grant.
So the other piece of this that comes out of your answer there for me then is that this is a very long road that you're looking at.
There's
here.
No doubt about
it. You're in a long game here.
We are. We're playing long ball here. I mean, and not because I want to, but because I'm a student of social movements. I'm a student of U.S. history. You know, there's never been a constitutional amendment that actually dealt with real power that happened quickly. They all have taken sustained efforts, and Move to Amend is in it to win it. We're in it with the understanding that it's going to be at least a 10 to 20 year period. Now, a lot of people get frustrated or they get impatient around how long it's going to be. But I tell them, it's like, look, this is the rest of our lives. So don't just do this. Make sure that you have a good relationship with your loved ones and your children, and you know, make sure that you're getting out and getting some hikes in, and you know, play softball or basketball, or you know, read a good book. I mean, make sure that you're doing the other things that we ought to be doing to be self-actualized human beings. But let's also recognize this, that we have to actually take the question of who rules this country seriously. We have to actually be willing to do what people before us have done. And again, I reference the abolitionists, the women's suffrage movement, the civil rights movement. You know, Grant, we stand on the shoulders of giants in this country. And those kinds of changes were made because ordinary people were willing to do the work. It's just that simple. Now, that work should be and can be joyous. It can be uplifting. It can be wonderful. But it's work, right? It's meaningful, productive activity. So we ought to embrace it and engage it and be willing to be in it to win it, which means a 10 to 20 year arc.
And I also have the sense then that your movement is not taking a position on what specifically the alternative arrangements ought to look like once you establish this or you reestablish this set of principles that you're after.
That's absolutely right. And I'm so glad you asked that question because we make it clear explicitly in our proposed language. You go to the website movetoamend.org. You'll see that it's very explicit and clear that those political questions, they invite discourse, debate, and disagreement, as they should. Right? But this is not a political issue. This is a principle. So the principles have to be set, and then we can engage in what the legislation would look like. And I will admit there are many people in Move to Amend who have an opinion one way or another on different legislation. And we say, look, you, as an individual, you should do that. But as Move to Amend, we're dedicated to the principles of a democratic republican form of government. So no, we don't want to be proscriptive in the way that legislation would be.
You've mentioned the website a couple times. Let me ask you this question, though, about where people in our listening area who have heard this and either want to participate or want to find out more, will they be able to link up with local people by going to your main website?
They certainly can, Grant. I'm very pleased to tell you that here in Syracuse, there is a very strong chapter. I want to give a big shout out to the local folks who have done an amazing job. And so any of the listeners here of this program, if you want to get involved, there is a Syracuse Move to Amend affiliate. And all you do is go to the website movetoamend.org, find the sign the petition, because it's really an organizing petition. All you have to do is sign up there, and what will happen is automatically the local organizers will have access and they'll be in touch with you. Because again, this is not just an education moment to make you a better Trivial Pursuit player. This is to actually get ordinary people involved in a movement, and there is a vibrant organization here in Syracuse.
Let me get to the three questions at the end. First, what's the title of the chapter of life you're currently living?
I'm going to say engaged citizen.
And second, what's your worst trait?
Patience. The reality is that I have had to train myself to have the patience for the kind of political change. It does not come naturally.
And finally, what professional or creative achievement in your life so far has surprised you the most?
Well, you know, I think that what I would say is this, and this is actually a little bit sad, but I'm going to answer the question, you know, really honestly. What surprised me was that becoming a lawyer didn't actually provide me the opportunity to fight for justice. See, I became a lawyer because I thought that equal justice under the law and that the law profession was the place that one went. And what I realized, Grant, was as a lawyer in the disputes that I handled, I might be able to get individual justice for an individual client, but that the problem was that the legal system was rigged in favor of the wealthy, that the structures of power in this country did not facilitate towards justice. And so for me, the thing that I'm most surprised of is that my desire to be a lawyer ended up not being what I thought it would be, but being an engaged citizen is providing me the opportunity to fight for justice the way I want it to.
That was David Cobb. David, thanks so much for talking with me.
It's my pleasure to be here.
For a longer version of the conversation you've just heard, please go to WRVO.org, and please tune in again to WRVO Public Media for more conversations in the public interest.